Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of what it means to have eternal life. Eternal life is the uncreated life that's in God Himself. It's a life that comes into us when we're born again. Eternal life is not live forever life. We already had that. From the moment of conception in a mother's womb, you've got a little eternal being, somebody who's going to live forever, either in heaven or in hell, depending on what they do with Jesus. Everybody has live forever life. No, what we receive is the very life in God Himself, the life by which Jesus lived and walked when He was on this earth. Jesus is God become a man without ceasing to be God, but while on earth He did not live as God, He lived as a man in union with and in dependence on the life of His Father in Him. And He shows us what sons of God look like, how they walk, how they act, how they live. And through the new birth, we are united to the life that's in Jesus. See, John 3:16, probably the most famous verse in the New Testament. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That phrase, believeth in Him, has the idea in the Greek of into Him. When you believed on Jesus as Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit united you on the inside, your spirit, to the life that's in God. You were joined to the life in God. You were joined to Jesus as truly as a branch is joined to a vine, and you became a partaker of the very life that's in God. You didn't know it was happening, but it happened. You are now in union with God. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "He who's joined to the Lord is one spirit." You're one spirit with the Lord. Whatever's in that life is in you. Think about it for a minute. If we have a tomato vine has branches coming out of it. Those branches are in union with the vine. The life that's in the vine is the life that's in the branches. Is that right? Yes, that's right. In other words, there's tomato life in the vine, and then there's tomato life in the branches as well. If Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." If a branch is cut off from a vine, it's cut off from life, from its source of life. But consider this point with our little tomato vine here. Whatever's in that life is in both the vine and the branch, because the same life that's in the vine is the life that's in the branch, right? So somebody told me there's zinc in tomatoes. I don't know. I took their word for it. There's an element called zinc in tomato vines. Well, that would mean there's zinc in the vine and there's zinc in the branches, because the vine and the branch share the same life. Well, you're in union with the vine. Whatever's in that life is in you now. There's holiness in that life, so there's holiness in you. There's righteousness in that life, so there's righteousness in you. There's health in that life, so there's health in you. There's strength in that life, so there's strength in you. Do you see the point that we're going for? Now, we'll discuss this in more detail over the next couple of weeks, but since it's Friday, let's bring this to a good stopping point. Salvation is so much more than not going to hell. For a lot of Christians, that's their concept of salvation. To be saved means I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. Thank God I'm not going to hell, thank God I'm going to heaven. If that's all that was involved, I would be eternally grateful, and so would you. But salvation is much more than that. I sometimes say this. If salvation were a yardstick, you know what a yardstick is. It's got 3 feet in it, or 36 inches. If salvation were a yardstick, not going to hell is 1/4 of an inch on that yardstick. There's 35 3/4 inches of provision for this life. Salvation is so much more than not going to hell. It's being delivered from the effects of sin in every part of our being, in our spirit, in our soul, and in our body by the life of God, and then being transformed into holy, righteous sons and daughters of God who live and walk as Jesus walked. Now, in order to walk in victory and demonstrate the will of God in our lives, we need to learn to live and walk by the life of God in us. How do we do that? We'll go into more detail next week, but consider some thoughts. Do you know you can't make it happen? I know people hear lessons like this, and they're challenged by it and encouraged by it, and they try to make that life flow, try to grunt it out, try to somehow get it to come out of them. Stop doing all that. You cannot make it happen. You can only know it and believe it. That's your part, to know what's in you and to believe it. The Apostle John, who recorded Jesus' statement in John 10:10, which we discussed earlier in the week, where Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and abundance of the uncreated eternal life of God to the point of overflow." The Apostle John said that he wrote what he wrote in his gospel so that men and women would believe on Jesus and have life through his name. That's John chapter 20, verse 31. "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." John also wrote this statement in his epistle, 1 John. This is chapter 5. In verse 11 he said, "This is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." In verse 12 he says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath life." He's telling people, you've got the life of God in you. Now listen to this, verse 13. "These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." I'm writing so that you know what you have. Your part in this is to know it and to believe it. That's it. And we'll address that more next week. But that's why we're taking time to teach on this, even though it doesn't seem to directly relate to the issues we all deal with in our lives. You and I have to take time to think about these things and let our view of reality be changed by the Word of God. See, this isn't a gimmick or a technique to try to manipulate some change in our situation. It's about changing our view of reality so that we see things the way they really are according to God and then living out of that reality. Friend, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior today, you're in union with God. You are a partaker of the very life and nature of God, and that life is in you to transform you. It has, and we'll discuss this next week, the condition of your spirit is actually the basis of your identity. So even though you've got unchanged parts, God deals with you on the basis of the changed parts. We'll discuss that in more detail later. But he sees the union between you and himself through Jesus. We said yesterday, Jesus encountered Paul on the road to Damascus and said to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" He never touched Jesus. He was persecuting Jesus' followers. But Jesus considered it me because he saw the union. God sees you alive with his very own life in your spirit. He sees righteousness, holiness, peace, joy, health, and strength in you. He put it there at the new birth. He sees that you have been delivered from sin and death. He sees that you've been delivered from sin and that death in all its forms has lost its right to rule over you. We discussed, I think it was earlier this week, that all the problems in this life are manifestations of death, spiritual death, and the solution is life. Death has lost its right to rule over you because you're alive with the life of God, but you need to see it or know it, and you need to believe it as well. Providing the experience or making it happen, providing you to the point where you feel strong, you look and feel healed. You feel peace. That's not your responsibility. You can't make that happen. It's knowing and believing what God has done in you through the cross and through the new birth. You received Jesus and the new birth by faith. Faith is not sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Whatever faith is, it's not sight. You received Jesus as Savior and Lord and the new birth by faith. You really didn't even know all that was happening. You didn't know that when you believed on Jesus, you were believing into Jesus. You believed on Jesus and the Holy Spirit united you to the life in Him as truly as a branch is joined to a vine. God told you what He did at the cross. You didn't see it. You couldn't feel it. But you believed it, and the experience of it was produced in you by the Spirit of God. An invisible God produced tangible results in you. That's supernatural. That's one of our themes in this series. Christianity is supernatural. When you know and believe that God is in you, that His life is the life of your spirit, that in you you have health, peace, joy, strength, the Holy Spirit, by that life in you, will produce the experience. Your part is to believe, to know and to believe. You can't make it happen, but when you believe, you will see. Paul, who lived by the life of God in him, said that as we have received the Lord Jesus, that's how we're to walk in Him. We received Him by faith, and we now walk in Him by faith, or we walk in union with Him by faith. That means we walk or live with awareness of and agreement with reality as it truly is. God is in us by His life to do in us and through us all that He did for us at the cross. Colossians 2:6 says, since then you have received the Christ, even Jesus the Lord. Conduct yourselves in the consciousness of union with Him. We have a tendency to live by what we see and feel, and by what we reason based on what we see and feel. But we have to learn to live by what God says, or reality as it truly is. I encourage you, feed on the scriptures we're sharing this week about what it means to have God in us. Talk about God in you by His life until it becomes your view of reality. If we could learn to live by the life of God that has come into us by the new birth, we would live as the overcomers that we are. 1 John 5:4 says, because all that has received new life from God conquers the world. Whoever takes its origin from God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. More next week.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.